Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Journey to Success Radio Network. Our purpose on Journey to Success Radio is to interview people who are truly making a difference in this world. And we're going to look at and explore many different aspects and areas of life, including business, sales, physical, mental, relationships, disabilities, and many, many more important topics. So far, our broadcast team consists of Michael Collins out of New York. He's the author of Ushering in the Golden Age and also a Napoleon Hill Foundation certified instructor. Taylor Tagg out of Tennessee, author of Enrich Your Sunrise, also a Napoleon Hill certified instructor. Ray Stendahl out of California. He spoke with me at the Napoleon Hill International Convention in Malaysia and is also a certified instructor. Dave Yablecki out of British Columbia. He provides entertainment for casinos, colleges, universities, and trade shows. And my friend Tracy Montgomery out of Calgary, Alberta, an Organo Gold distributor, as well as an author of ebooks on dating and relationships that have generated close to 20,000 downloads. My co-host today, the amazing Mahogany, is on her first show. She's an Organo Gold distributor. I interviewed her last week. Tell us a little bit about yourself, Mahogany.
Sure. As you said, my name is Mahogany. I am an accomplished singer-songwriter and recording artist with 3 albums to date. I'm also co-founder of the Responsible Artistry Campaign. And under the umbrella of the Responsible Artistry Campaign, we have the Responsible Artistry Magazine, where I am the creative editorial director. We also have the Responsible Artistry Cafe, and our focus is health and wellness, providing the world's best gourmet healthy coffee from Organo Gold, and also the new Responsible Artistry Radio, which will be airing under the leadership of the Journey to Success Radio Network. And our purpose for the Responsible Artistry Campaign is using our influence as artists to enhance and save lives.
And also, don't forget, you are appearing in New Orleans at the OG Got Talent competition.
Oh, yes. How could I forget that? Thank you.
Yes, so people.
I'm so excited.
And so vote for Mahogany. And myself, my name's Tom Tutall Cunningham. I'm a Napoleon Hill Foundation certified instructor. I also contribute regularly to their weekly newsletter. And I recently spoke at the 2012 Napoleon Hill International Convention in Malaysia, where I shared the stage with Deepak Chopra, Don Green, the executive director of the foundation, and Dr. J.B. Hill, the grandson of Napoleon Hill. I've had rheumatoid arthritis from my jaw to my toes since age 5. That's 44 years now. And I've had 4 hips, 4 knees, and 2 shoulders replaced. Been hospitalized about 40 times. I also stand about 5'1", due to the heavy daily doses of the oral steroid prednisone that I had to take to fight my arthritis. Despite all those things, I'm well known for always answering amazing when asked how I'm doing. I'm also a senior research director for the Canadian Business Journal, which is a digital-only publication that is the official and only media partner with the Canadian Chamber of Commerce. We did a feature story on Organo Gold in our May 2010 issue when the company was just starting. Find out more about me and my website. It's tom2tall.com. And my guest today is Jared Wilkins from Organo Gold, Mr. Motivational Moments. And Mahogany, why don't you tell us a little bit about Jared, please?
I certainly will, and let me just say that it is an honor just for me to be able to introduce him. He is, like you said, a seasoned entrepreneur, a professional network marketer, and a highly sought-after professional speaker. Without a college degree to lean on at the tender age of 21, Mr. Wilkins was able to obtain great success for the companies he worked for. His leadership skills equipped him to develop a team of senior executives, many that were twice his age, to award-winning sales status for a Fortune 500 corporation. Those experiences inspired Mr. Wilkins to take full action to pursue his passion for entrepreneurship. And since then, he has launched multiple companies, generated millions in revenue, became one of the most respected men in network marketing, and developed priceless relationships with some of the most influential people in business. His ability to connect to the core of his audiences derives from the simple-swim life experiences he encountered as a young boy growing up in a third-world country without his parents to provide and protect him. He He also has a gift from God to inspire, to captivate, and communicate some of life's deep truths that are full of power and energy, yet are very clear and simple to understand. This has turned him into a magical storyteller, drawing in his audience by painting portraits of possibilities to his messages. Whether the platform is an international convention, motivational seminar, leadership retreat, or private coaching session, his message will lead you on a power-packed adventure that is sure to be filled with moments of motivation from JW.
Wow. Welcome to the show today, Jared. Thank you so much.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me. Good morning.
It is so amazing to have you on the show. And as you know, when I almost every single interview, unless they haven't read it, I almost always start out by asking when the person first read the book Think and Grow Rich and who was the important person in their life that introduced them to it, because often that can be a very important and influential person as well. When did you first read that book, Jared?
I had to be about 21 years old. It was introduced to me as I was at a seminar, attending a seminar, wealth building seminar, and everybody kept talking about the importance of it, the principles that are found in it, and you know, Tom, really how it was sort of the guiding light for them. And even after I heard about it, because I heard about so many different books, you know, I did pick it up, I did buy it, and started to read it, but didn't really start to get into the principles and study it until I heard a business mentor of mine who I have just such an incredible amount of respect for, who had generated and earned hundreds of millions of dollars, talk about him going through the book voraciously 500-plus times, and him saying it was the cornerstone.
Wow.
Of his wealth creation. And so I really started to study different aspects of the book. I found it difficult to understand because of the mentality I was coming from initially, but that was the reason I started to study. I was about 21, and I really got real entrenched into it about 23 years old, especially where it talks about desire, because I do believe success in any level, especially significance, starts with a burning desire.
Oh, you are so right. That burning desire is the starting point of all achievement, because I'm sure just from reading your bio or hearing your bio, you grew up under tough, tough times without parents to help you out and protect you. And so without a strong, burning desire, it would have been easy for you to fold your tent a long time ago, wouldn't it?
Yeah, you know, it's amazing that when challenges come into people's lives, and I was having a conversation with a young man about this on last night, you know, challenges and obstacles, they do two things. They not only build character, but they also reveal character. And so once I believe a person has the burning desire, it reveals essentially what's in them. It could propel you to where it is that you ultimately vision yourself going. And for some people, because they don't have it, they don't have that burning desire to create and to do more and to discover and to enjoy life, it disseminates the possibilities that should come from it. And so I believe, man, that burning desire, it is the quintessential foundation that gets a person to become a winner and a champion and someone who really ultimately makes the biggest or some contribution in their life.
Exactly. Now, one question here, because it's something I'm thinking about, wonder about sometimes. When you can find people or ignite a burning desire in people, but isn't it also true that there's a good percentage of the population that no matter what the opportunity or book, they will never have a burning desire in life to do more than the ordinary? And, you know, is it valuable to identify those types of people, those two different types of people, and spend as much time as you can on the ones that you can ignite a burning desire with, as opposed to the ones that are like North American average that spend 32 hours a week watching TV on the internet and playing video games?
Most certainly. You know, my favorite book says the poor will always be amongst you. And so when I see the greater landscape of social economics and just people in general, it is quite apparent and obvious that there are people that don't mind investing 32 hours on the couch watching TV. Now, is there anything wrong with TV? Absolutely not. But anything done just repeatedly will create a habit. And, you know, most of the population, they have no clue. Matter of fact, Tom, I tell people all the time, there are three types of people in this world. There are people that are in the game, there are people that are on the sidelines, and then there are people that don't even know that the game is being played. And so, yeah, as a champion, as a winner, yeah, you will know this, and you will begin to see clearly where these three categories of people fall into. And the key to it is making sure that you fall within the category or stay within the company of the category of people that draw that burning desire out from you, that challenge you, that sharpen you, because we all know that, of course, iron sharpens iron. But, yes, those people do exist, and my advice is to run far away from them.
And you're throwing in some quotes from my favorite book of all time, the Bible, so you can never go wrong throwing that in. And one of the pictures that's showing during the slideshow of this show is you holding the Organo Gold branded Think and Grow Rich copy, collector's edition. And what a, as you know, I've known Shane Moran since we sold Law of Success door to door to businesses over 25 years ago. And so what an amazing partnership, isn't that, between Napoleon Hill Foundation and Organo Gold. When Shane first told me, he told me all about the relationship first before he told me about Organo Gold. And I tell people, even if he was selling plastic doggy doo, I would have been in, because the Napoleon Hill Foundation partnership was all the due diligence I needed to know about the company Organo Gold.
Yeah, they you know, when you look at it from that standpoint, it's the track record is there. You know, the Napoleon Hill Foundation with the book Think and Grow Rich. I mean, they say if you ever want to hide something from people, put it in a book, because very seldomly will people pick up the book to read the information. I believe it was, if I'm not mistaken, I want to say it wasn't Dale Carnegie in terms of where I read this, but it was an author, I'm drawing a blank on it, it was an author that told in their book that you are the sum total of what you've learned. And most people don't bother to learn information, new information that could enhance them, that could create what it is that they want and give them a broader and a sharper perspective of life as they know it. But, the Think and Grow Rich book, the Napoleon Hill Foundation, it's been such a cornerstone to the culture and to the success of our company and our organization, because people that plug into the information, those are the folks that create the results. Those folks that are really doing what is required, which is to develop themselves, develop their skills, develop their ability, develop their language. Jim Rohn, one of my mentors, says, make sure you're not lazy in language, because it is your words that create the world. And so, that book has just been absolutely phenomenal for not only myself, but also the organization.
I love Jim Rohn. I introduced him in front of an audience of about 1,200 in Ottawa, Ontario, when I was working with Shane Moran for a company called Success Source. And, boy, I was grinning so wide I could eat a banana sideways, as Zig Ziglar would say. Now, Mahogany, I'm stealing up a lot of time here. Do you have a question here for Jared as well?
Yes, I do. David M. Onitie, one of our mentors, speaks about the vision environment. And so I would like for Jared to tell the listeners how important your environment is on the journey to success.
Oh, most certainly, Mahogany. When you look at environment, I believe it fosters the burning desire. It's, give you an analogy, if you look at the difference or the dichotomy between a plane and a rocket, both we all know could lift off, both we know could break through the atmosphere, both we know fly and do certain things, but a rocket cannot launch and get to where orbit needs to be on the same grounds of a plane. Why? It's not the proper environment. It must be on a launching pad. Airplane can't be on a launching pad and take off. It must be on a runway. And so the difference between those things is the environment in which they're placed. And so what I teach people is this here. You could have a burning desire. You could should have all of the vicissitudes of life coming against you. But if you put yourself in an environment that cultivates and teaches you and pulls you to your purpose and pulls you to your passion versus versus the pain that you may be dealing with, that is when the magic takes place. That's what has happened for me. It's not that I was any greater in terms of an orator. It wasn't that I was any greater or any better suited to create a lifestyle that I really wanted. It was that I was intelligent to know that, number one, I didn't have all the answers. Number two, there were people that did. And number three, connecting and putting myself in an environment that will pull me versus subdue me. And so environment to me,
okay.
It is the most important factor to now the first, what I call building block, after you've developed that burning desire or identified it. Now what do you do next? You have to place yourself in an environment for you to take off and take flight.
Right.
Wow, and now at the same time, in my own case, Jared, I had amazing parents growing up who were overachievers, energetic, made sure that we did the right things and had the right foundation. You didn't have that. And so how did you go about creating the right environment of friends, of who do you go to when you don't have the parents? Because so many people with the great parents like I have will tell you that that was kind of the foundation of their future success.
Well, you go inside, and that's what I did. You know, not having the parents at age 5 through age 12, it put me in a position to become a bigger dreamer. And so what I did was I put myself in environments that fostered my dream. I used to always sneak out when I was 7, 8 years old because there were plays that used to be across the street from where I lived. And I would sneak out knowing that I would be in trouble by my grandmother and knowing that I'll probably get a spanking when I come back. But I wanted to go because I wanted to dream. The plays, they would be talking about family. They would be talking about achievement. It was very creative, very artistic. And it allowed me, Tom, to put myself in an environment that would cause creation to take place. And so, no, I didn't have the protection. No, I didn't have the providers of my biological parents, but what I did have were the things that are quintessential, which is environment, to build my burning desire. And so that's where a person needs to go. A person needs to go not where – I tell people, don't go where you're tolerated. Go where you're celebrated. And in that celebration place, that's where you can be empowered, you can be enriched, and you can encounter a greater you.
Amen. I was interested to hear about you growing up in a third world country. As I mentioned previously, I always answer amazing when asked how I'm doing. And you can imagine if someone does that, a lot of people are going to ask, why are you so amazing? And so one of the part of my selling process on why I'm so amazing is that I mention people in a third world country, about probably 30 to 40%, I think closer to 40% of the world lives on less than $2 a day. They don't have proper roofs over their head, and they don't have proper food, water. And yet here in North America, we're no nicer, we're no kinder than those people. We didn't deserve to be born in Canada or the U.S. any more than they deserve to be born in a third world country. So before I ever think of complaining of one single thing, I think of people born in a third world country who are just as nice and just as kind as me. And I'm in Canada, and so anything I complain about, I think of complaining to someone in a third world country, and I think of the look on their face of what they would think of when I'm complaining about what we complain about in North America. And so to get out of that environment and to become what you have become is an even greater mountain, a greater challenge than people with parents and born in North America. So you had a couple of big mountains to climb through no fault of your own right from the start.
Yeah, you know, when you're going through the process, it's always painful. But when you make it through or make it out of that process, you understand that that pain was necessary. It's like when you go to the gym. Everybody thinks you're going to the gym, and when you're lifting weights, that you're building muscle. You're not building muscle at that point. You're breaking it down. You're breaking and tearing down muscles so that they can be built. And so going through the process, Tom, of being in a third world country, whereas, yeah, you don't have the running water, you don't have electricity, you don't have the necessities, or that's all you have, the bare necessities of life. You don't have the cable television. You don't have, the drive-through. There's no credit system. You can't say, okay, I want to put a down payment on a home or on a car. No, if you want to get a home or a car, guess what? You've got to pay. You got to pay for it. And that's why overseas, they take things of like stealing. They'll kill you, because it's that serious. I mean, they spent their whole life or generations, putting together an infrastructure to buy an automobile or to buy a home, and for you to try to cheat the system by taking, it requires them to take your life. And so, when a person is reared in that type of environment, when you come to a place like North America, it's a piece of cake. I mean, you've got everything laid out for you, and that's why you see so many foreigners. They come over here and they maximize this platform, because people that are here, sad to say, they haven't had the experience of going through a painful process. And so guess what? They don't have a clear vision of what to do, because they haven't been in a position where they did not have. And so a lot of times it could be the things that hurt the most for us could be the very things that are developing us to have and to do what it is that we're destined to do. And so we know that the Bible says, it says it very clear, all things work together for the good.
Amen.
All things. It doesn't say all things feel good. It says all things work together. And so it's worked, and we're just so fortunate that they've worked the way they have.
And just exactly how I got rheumatoid arthritis at age 5. I've used that, and God allowed that to happen, and He is now allowing me to encourage other people because of that. And so this leads me to the next question, because it's really the thing I get asked about for help the most. And Napoleon Hill said it's the most important principle, definiteness of purpose. When Shane and I first started selling Law of Success door to door, and that's when I developed my definite purpose. I wanted to be a speaker. And there were many years where I thought, never going to happen. But I worked on it so hard in my subconscious that when I was speaking in Malaysia at the Napoleon Hill International Convention, you could have pinched me. If I could have seen myself at 22 or 23 doing that, I don't think I would have believed it. And now Vic Conant from Nightingale Conant emailed me yesterday to make sure I'm available to take me for dinner October 27th. These are all things that were in my mind and in my purpose 25-plus years ago, and yet so many people, like we talked about earlier with the burning desire, they cannot figure out what is their purpose and what is their passion. Sad for them, but how do people go about discovering their purpose and their passion?
That it's a very interesting question, because the word purpose and passion, they're thrown around like the word love. It's almost like a dirty pair of socks. I mean, it's everywhere. But when I look at purpose, a book that helped me was a book entitled Realionaire by an author named Dr. Fairgray. The gentleman made his first million at 14 years old, selling his grandmother's recipe to vanilla maple syrup. And I remember reading that book early on in my career, because I wanted to discover what this whole notion of purpose was, because you hear it in the pool, you hear it from the pulpit, you hear it in every personal development seminar, and most of the times people attach their purpose to the speaker's purpose or to the speaker's passion. And he was very clear and distinctive in the three areas that he defined how to really ultimately pull out and really get clear on your purpose and your passion. He says, number one, decide or discover what comes easiest to me and seemingly hardest to everyone else. What comes easiest to me and harder to everyone else? He says, number two, what is it that I would be willing to do for years and not have to get paid for it? What is it that I would be willing to do, willing to do this for years, like you said, 25 years, and not get paid for it? And then he said, number three, how could I use this to be contributors and to empower the community? how can this serve other people? And so when you look at those three areas, if a person was to jot those things down and look at their life, you know, starting with number one, what comes easiest to me? What is it that I get compliments on all of the time? And most people, they don't understand that those compliments that they get on those things, that's when you're operating in your natural gift. You know, what is it that, you know, when people see this or hear this from me or about me, they always compliment it. You know, it comes easy to me. Some people, they can, you know, they can sit and they can draft up a long, detailed email. Maybe their words or maybe, you know, how they dress or what they do, you know, all those things. That comes easy to them but harder to other people. Well, that could be an area that leads you into your passion. That could be an area that leads you into really your ultimate purpose. And I believe a person staying within those three contextual foundation can really build upon their purpose, and it can exude into their passion, and they can really do what it is that they're created to do. And I've heard it said before that happiest is he who can work and play and not know the difference. And I believe if a person is doing that, you're really living out your passion.
Amen. Preach it, man. You got the host excited here. I'm walking across the carpet here. I'm burning the carpet walking up and down here. You got me motivated. I got to go out and sell something to somebody, I think. My goodness. Okay, Mahogany, I'm stealing the whole show and thunder here. Do you have another question for Jared?
Yes, I do. But I'm learning, so I don't mind. I was listening to Mr. Wilkins. I think it was a mentorship call that you did. I'm not sure if it was for your team or for the entire organization. And there was a part in there where I promise you, I thought it was Martin Luther King. Your voice just resonated in that sense where it took me back and it really just made me feel. I was really inspired just by your voice. And I say that because I want to ask you, when did you realize that you had that power in your voice, that you can inspire other people?
Well, I realized it, Mahogany, and I appreciate that compliment. I realized that early on in life, the ability to inspire people with words, but I realized it then. But I discovered the power in it probably in the last 4 years. And what I mean by discovered it is your words is not what you necessarily say only; it's what you've been through that allows the words to resonate. And so many people I see, they may have read the books, they may have heard the audio programs, and they want to speak on certain topics. And, you know, it's just great education. And I teach people a couple of things. Number one, when you preach a message, people hear you. When you teach a message, people listen to you, but it's not until you become the message that people follow you. And so it's really about when you're communicating a message, the power comes from the experience. It comes from a sense of going through those things, going through those wilderness experiences. Whereas, you know, when a person is listening to you, they're not just listening with their ears, they're really listening with their heart, and you're able to move past their head into their heart. Because, man, they can really feel that, man, this is a person that's been through where I am, or this is a person that really has a clear understanding of what I'm dealing with. And so I discovered that within the last several years because of the things that I was fortunate enough to experience in life.
Wow. Hey, guys, guess what? We have a caller calling in from the 713 area code, which I believe is Houston, Texas. Let me just put them on the line here. Hello there. Someone calling from Houston. Who's this? Hello? We will put them back on hold. Very good. Wow, that is amazing answer about words, because as you said, it's not just the words you speak, not just the words you speak out loud, it's the words that go through your head as well. You're going to have 40 to 60,000 thoughts a day. So the person you speak the most to is yourself. So, Jared, one more question here that I have for you. You talk about mentorship and coaching, such an important principle, the mastermind principle. It's the number two of the Napoleon Hill Foundation principles. Tell me a little bit about the importance in your life to mentors and coaches and how you mentor and coach other people as well.
Well, it's mentorship to me is really it's different from coaching. Word mentor it gets thrown around so loosely, but mentorship is a person really pouring their life philosophies into you. It's a very exhausting task. It's a very daunting task because now, if and when you're mentored, you must submit as a mentee, and so. A mentor now is mentoring you. It could be in all areas. It could be personal. It could be financially. It could be spiritually. And then sometimes you may have different mentors for these different areas of your life. But a mentor, it's a relationship. It's not a it's not just a coaching session. It's we've built a relationship. There's a strong level of trust there in the mentor and mentee relationship. There's a Teflon message of pull there because of that relationship being developed. But on the opposite side of that, there's coaching. Coaching is, you know, I'm giving you different pointers to help you in your process. And so, I've heard it that you mentor the few and you coach the masses. It's no different than what Jesus did. He mentored 12 and coached thousands. He led the multitude in his coaching, but he mentored the 12. And the reason why he could only mentor 12 because it's so daunting. You're pouring, you're building relationships, you're doing all those things. But when you mentor the few, they can cater and they can mentor others and they can coach others. So I think, you know, a person, you ought to have three types of folks in your life. There ought to be category number one, a mentor, someone that's pouring into you. All of us have to and must and should and deserve a mentor. Then you ought to have a peer, someone that's side by side with you. You're on the same level in life. You know, you can bounce ideas off of each other. You know, you keep each other sharpened. You know, you keep each other motivated. Motivation is good. It's not the it's not the quintessential thing, but motivation is good. I tell people the difference between champions and those that are coming in second place is that the champions are internally driven while those coming in second place are motivated. And so the third now is, of course, people that you can pour into. And so that's so important because you've got to, as Les Brown says, you learn, you earn, and you pass it along. And so you've got to have somebody that you pass the information on to so it can continue to perpetuate itself.
Amen. I love that passing on, too, because that's part of the going the extra mile process that the Napoleon Hill Foundation talks about. The more you give into others of your time, money, and wisdom, the universe will, I don't need to call it universe. God set it up so that the more you give of your time, money, and wisdom, the more you get blessed back and back and back and back and back. And you don't go into it for that reason, but the more you pour out what you've learned into others, the more you're going to be blessed. And great way to set up a system, for sure. God knew what he was doing there. And so, I really love that. And it sounds like maybe coaching is more tips, strategies, and abilities, whereas mentorship is also tips, strategies, and abilities, but pouring your life philosophy into someone as well, the philosophy around why you're developing these tips, strategies, and abilities in the different areas of your life. And I think that philosophy part is where you're really just pouring into someone much more than if you're just giving a tip or a strategy or ability on how to do this or that.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And you have to have both. And then you also mentioned about mentors in different areas. And, wow, so right there, because I have one for physical health. I have a Napoleon Hill Foundation mentor. Have one for financial. And so you can have different mentors with different expertises in different areas of your life. And then you can also have those coaches. Coaches are ones that you respect their advice, but, you know, you're not particularly blending your life and your philosophy into theirs.
I believe sometimes you could have people or attempt to place the right person in the wrong place of your life. And when you do that, you have a disaster. And so it's very important that you know the people, get to know the person, and decide and determine what place this person fits into my life.
Wow. Amen. Jared, well, let's take a few minutes. Tell us about your passion for organogold, how you got introduced to it. What were you thinking when you first got introduced to it? Maybe some of the giants in the company that have really mentored and coached you. You've done very well. So tell us a little bit about your experience with organogold.
Well, it started back in late 2008. Mr. Holton Bugs is my personal sponsor and my business coach and mentor here. But he called me about the company, and, of course, I was not a coffee drinker, and so I told him after a six-hour conversation that I was not interested, after I talked to Mr. Shane Moran as well, not interested myself and my business partner, Mr. Craig Hill, and we didn't get involved for close to a year. But in that time, they built and developed a very successful business and helped so many other peers and friends of mine that I knew around the industry that some had done okay, never made what I call a full-time income for a considerable amount of time, but had helped these individuals get to a very stable, growing income, and that caught our attention and caused us to come back around in August 2009 and really decide to launch a business versus join a network marketing company. I tell people all the time that, you know, amateurs and rookies join network marketing companies. Professionals launch a business and use network marketing as a vehicle to distribute products and services. And so we got started and launched in August of 2009. And, you know, it's been an absolutely incredible business. You know, prior to this, I had been around and involved in the industry since 2004, and really paid the price for where we are now. And in no means are we finished or are we done, but paid the price. You know, a lot of folks get excited to hear people's to celebrate in the glory, but they don't bother to uncover or to discover the story. And as Jim Rohn says, the drama is unfolded in the details. And so, you know, we're like everybody else from a standpoint of getting involved and seeing it through. You know, are there times that we wanted to quit? Absolutely. Anybody that makes six figures or seven figures in network marketing, I guarantee you at some point or another were challenged in their belief system and wanted to quit, wanted to go do something else, wanted to go earn income somewhere else, because there are a myriad of things that you can do. And sometimes I teach people that they prematurely go full-time into the business because they haven't developed the character enough to be full-time. And so if you haven't developed that character to be full-time in the profession or be full-time because you haven't developed your skill set, you haven't developed your mindset, you don't know what to do with your time fully.
Yes.
And so you shouldn't be full-time. And so, but Organogold, you know, I've got so many great friends in the company, Mr. David M. Onitier, whom I introduced to Mr. Holton Bugs back in 2007. And it changed his life, just that one introduction. Mr. Jose Ardon, you know, he was a gentleman that when he got into business, I used to do three-way calls for him. He used to call me for three-way calls, you know, to help him build his business. Who would ever thought of Crown Ambassador, right, having that take place? Mr. John Sakuris, Mr. Edwin Haynes, who's just an incredible gentleman. You know, Mr. Chris Oliver, who was the first person that I ever sat in front of to hear a presentation on the industry of network marketing back in 2003, 2002. You know, Mr. Emmanuel Burns. I mean, the list goes on and on and on. But it has been it's been incredible to now start a process and put in the 10,000 hours, as Malcolm Gladwell talks about in his book Outliers. He says any champion and every champion to beat on your craft. It's not a success or winning is not an elusive ghost. Everybody has to pay the price. And that's why I've been noted to say it's all about hard work and dedication.
Yeah, exactly. You can't get by the hard work.
Can't do it.
Wow.
Now, Jared, you said one thing that's interesting and probably encouraging to some distributors as well, and I heard the same thing from Andrea Blackley, Tyrone McDaniel, and there was yours, and then there was a third person, I forget maybe now who it was, who said that when they first were introduced to the business, they didn't jump in right away. Andrea Blackley was the same thing. David Immonitier showed her the business. She didn't jump in right away. It took her a while to jump in. So you sow the seed. Jesus talks about sowing seed. So you sow the seed by presenting the business, and you don't know when it's going to be, when that seed is going to sow and ripen. And so just plant the seed, and just because people don't decide to jump in now doesn't mean that they're not going to jump in ever.
Right. Yeah, it's we are the stories that the seed sown do grow. And you have a fiduciary responsibility that after you have planted the seed, it is now incumbent upon you as the sower to continue to plant, but also to water and fertilize. Meaning, you must go and grow. You must go and grow, because if Mr. Bugs, after had sown that seed to myself and Mr. David Immonitia, if he didn't continue to water and fertilize the seed, meaning keep good relationship, because a person didn't get started doesn't mean you demoralize them, criticize them, condemn them. No, if they don't get started, you go create success for someone else. And that seed, that success will ultimately come back, because you do reap what you sow. You may not reap where you sowed it.
And so, or when you sowed it.
Yeah, because there are laws that govern seed time and harvest time. And, you know, even when you look at creation, you know, everybody reads Genesis, or all the believers read Genesis, and this is not about religion. This is just about principles, because I believe preachers, they teach the personality of Jesus. I, as a teacher, I teach the principles of Jesus. And when you look at Genesis, he says, "Let there be light." And the scripture is very clear. It says, "And there was light." It didn't say, "Let there be light." Light showed up. No, "and" means there's some time that went by before the light came. Even God, in His ultimate wisdom and power and ability, it still, I want you to catch this clearly, it still took Him 7 days to create the heaven and the earth. Now, that's not 7 days in our terms, because we work on Cronus time. 7 days in His term. So you know, a day to Him is like thousands of days to us. So 7 days to create this world, and we have to adopt the same philosophy in terms of seed time and harvest time. It takes time. Anything worth having, I know in this postmodern society of microwaves and, all these other things, we want it right now. It's instant gratification. But man, I'm telling you, you've got to, as I've been quoted to say, as I did in Vegas, you've got to dig, plant, and cover it up. That's all you can do. Dig, plant, cover it up.
Plant, cover it up.
Wow. And once you've tested this principle of going the extra mile, it's called in the Napoleon Hill Foundation, and sowing in advance, you just tip your foot in the water and you see that you get results after you sow. And so once you know that that principle is solid, forever, works for everybody, the more time and effort you put into helping others, you know it's going to come back. You don't know the amount or when or where, but once you know for sure that that principle works, then your 10,000 hours and your effort helping others becomes a lot easier, doesn't it?
Absolutely. It most certainly does. That goes back to what we talked about. After a burning desire, what's the next place? It's environment. That environment cultivates everything. Had I not been in the right environment, had I quit because I hadn't placed myself in the right environment to foster and to grow my burning desire, imagine how many people wouldn't be impacted. Imagine how many people would not be impacted by your message, Tom, had you not placed yourself in the right environment of people that can continue to inspire you, that can continue to sharpen you. And that's what's so important for people to understand, is that your decision, because it's not all about just making a decision. John C. Maxwell talks about in his book, The 21 Irrefutable Laws of Leadership, it's not about making a decision. Anybody can make a decision. It's about managing the decision that you've made and doing it over a consistent period of time.
Wow. Jared, you have me so excited. I don't think anybody can say no to me this afternoon. I better sell a lot of stuff because nobody can say no after what I've just heard. My goodness, that's amazing. Now, we went over our 45 minutes, but that's all right. Can you just take a minute or two and just let people know all the places they can find you, maybe where you're speaking, maybe a website, email addresses, everything you can give to people so that when they're like me and they're thinking, wow, I need more of this stuff, I'm motivated, how can they contact you, where are you going to be?
Sure. I'm very easy to access or to find in terms of information. Jared Wilkins, you can Google Jared Wilkins. That's J-A-R-R-O-D, Wilkins, W-I-L-K-I-N-S. And it'll pull up my Facebook page and every other page that's out there about me, YouTube page as well. And so that's how people can really find and get more information, get more insight, and really get connected with what we're doing. And, you know, we have no agendas outside of promoting people, pushing people to their passion, pushing people to their purpose, and really, really helping a person chip away. You know, I've heard that Tom Hagner, that the difference between a painter and a sculptor is that a painter's job is to now take what it is that they have mentally and put it on paper. You know, they are really the brush. They're really putting on paper what it is that they've imagined. A sculptor is removing things that are clouding what's already there. And we like to be a vessel, a tool, not to paint on your life, but to really help people break away and chip away at all of the things that are covering them, all of the perceived imperfections that create a situation where that magnificent desire and obsession that they have is being bottled up and being led astray. And so we want to be just one of the tools, one of the instruments used by God to help break the mold that will allow a person to really live out their personal passions and really empower people.
Holy cow, amazing. You've said so many unique and new and fascinating things that I haven't heard before. The reference of Genesis where it said, let there be light, and there was light. Studied that book a long time, never came across that. So I'm going to do something I don't often do. I'm going to listen to this interview again. And I've been on the interview, so I know what was said. But so many good things that I have to listen again with a pen and paper in my hand and take down some of those great notes. And you're lucky you have a unique name, Jared Wilkins. There's probably not 998 Jared Wilkins that show up when people type it online. So this will be easy for people. Remember just how to spell it, J-A-R-R-O-D-W-I-L-K-I-N-S. Thank you so much for being on the show today. I really, really appreciate it. And as I said, I'm motivated now.
I am too.
Thank you guys so much for having me.
Have an amazing day, guys. Take care.
Take care.
Thank you.